Hi, it's Sarah Ann here from Smash Maths. Do you find your child often forgets their maths learning? You're not alone. We at Smash Maths can help you using our spaced repetition approach to make learning stick. Spaced repetition allows your child to visit every topic of the maths curriculum every week. It's an extremely powerful and easy way for your child to cover the whole maths curriculum, boost their confidence, and get great results. Our award-winning online maths program is suitable for children in kindergarten up to grade 6. Join us at smashmaths.org.
This is a production of the Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network. Welcome to the Vintage Homeschool Mom Show. Your host, Felice Gerwitz, is an author, a publisher, and your radio show host. She will encourage, educate, and inspire you with answers to your most pressing questions, from homeschool, marriage, parenting, and much more. Felice loves to equip moms to live a Christian life because every moment counts. Be sure to visit her website at mediaangels.com. And here's your host, Felice Gerwitz.
Hey, friends, and welcome. This is an episode of Vintage Homeschool Moms, and you can find today's show notes at vintagehomeschoolmoms.com. Our topic today is struggling with math. Does your child struggle with math? Well, how do you engage them in a way that will not only keep their attention, but allow real learning to take place? My special guests, Sarah Ann Fernandez and Trevor Dixon, are here to help us with that, and they are from the UK. So welcome, Trevor and Sarah Ann.
Thank you, Felice.
Thank you very much.
Lovely to be here with you.
Yes. Well, I spent a few minutes before we went live and got to know them a little bit, and you guys are in for a treat because these are our math experts, and it's probably half a dozen, you know, 50% or not, whether the children will think so, but I really think that they have a lot to offer because Trevor in particular has been involved in writing a lot of the math questions that maybe your children have had a chance to solve. So if they like math, they're going to love you, Trevor. So tell us a little bit about tell us a little bit about yourself and your background, which is certainly very extensive.
Well, I spent 35 years in what we would call primary education, which is the equivalent of elementary schools in the US. And quite a proportion of that, most of it, was spent as a maths coordinator in schools. I was maths coordinator in three primary schools, actually. And since retiring, I've spent probably, well, over 10 years writing maths publications for various national publishers. I think I'm reaching up over 80 publications now.
Wonderful.
I've also been involved in writing questions for our standard and national standardized tests at 7 and 11. And I've also been involved in marking of those tests and the various processes that the organization goes through to produce the final version with test
Wonderful.
Administrations and coding the questions and finally marking them, of course.
Wonderful. That's what I said, kids. You're either going to love Trevor or Mr. Dixon to you. All right. And Sarah Ann, your background's a little bit different.
Yes. I mean, like Trevor, I'm also a primary school teacher here in the UK. And now my role involves working with lots of different schools. So I'm not just attached to one school as a maths teacher. I have the privilege of working with lots of different teachers and lots of different classrooms, helping children become confident in maths and, you know, enjoy mathematics and helping them improve their learning and their results. And I also work with Trevor writing lots of maths books and questions together. We've worked on a number of books together but that have been published. And I'm also a mum of two boys aged 7 and 11. So my job after school is getting them engaged with their homework and helping them out with their maths and trying to inspire their love for the subject too.
I love it. And I love how you say maths, plural, where we say math, singular. So I love accents. So we're doing good here. Okay. So our question today is why so many parents either, you know, feel like teaching math is very difficult for them, or even if they love math. My brother absolutely loves it. And when his daughter was sitting next to him, working on some problems, he said, oh, don't do it this way, do it this way. And she said, but I have to show my work. But in his describing to her how to solve the problem quickly and more efficiently, it finally clicked. She was not doing well in math until he showed her a different way to do it. So she could go back and still, you know, for algebra especially, show all her work as a teacher required, but something finally clicked for her. And he said all she needed was someone to explain the why. And so, you know, he's also brilliant in math. You know, he's a CPA. So not all of us are brilliant in math. And so, you know, do one of you want to take the question of why is teaching math so difficult for parents today?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's brilliant how your brother's, you know, cracked the method to help your niece, you know, understand that problem and how to solve it. But I think for, you know, some parents, like you say, having that method or knowing the strategy to use to help their child unlock that math problem is sometimes quite challenging. And I mean, what I've found from speaking with parents and also teachers is that in today's world, there's so much choice. You know, there's just so much stuff out there for parents to choose. You know, there's so many books, online platforms, and also, you know, methods and strategies, and, you know, which one's the best one, and how do we, you know, take all this information and then apply it to our children's learning and help them make progress. You know, here in the UK, we've very much been promoting some of the Singapore teaching methods to really help children unlock their understanding of how to solve problems. And that's been very heavily promoted. But of course, that's not familiar to parents. So I think one of the challenges can be kind of understanding those strategies and how to teach those methods to the children successfully.
I think that is one of probably the biggest, you know, I'll let you jump in a minute, Trevor, but one of the biggest issues at homeschool conferences is that you're presented with, you know, this multitude of curriculums to choose from. And, you know, and it's difficult for a parent to make a decision. And a lot of times it's not even made at conference. They just would look at the materials, and then probably the worst thing is asking your friends what curriculum they use. I know a lot of parents do that, and what's successful for one family isn't necessarily for another. So yeah, Trevor, did you want to add something to that?
Yeah, I was listening to Sarah Ann there, and it was reminded when I was teaching that I run a course for parents to come into school on the different methods for tackling calculations.
Wonderful.
And I asked a very simple question, something along the lines of what is 86 minus 54, something of that order. And I asked them to do it mentally, and they all came up, thankfully, with the correct answer. But then I asked them how they did it. And there were almost as many different methods for solving that as there were parents sitting in the room. And it sort of, it was the point I wanted to make, was that there isn't a right method. There are a variety of methods that we come to use. They are all equally valid. You get the right answer in the end, which is the important thing. So I think sometimes children get bogged down in a particular method, and there are a variety of methods that they could actually choose from.
Mm-hmm.
And
especially
some suit
math.
Others more than others. You know, some can see it more clearly if they do it this way than perhaps the way they were originally told.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing I think was, or one of the other things about why teaching maths or math is difficult, is that I think it's quite often you can get a kind of maths anxiety about the subject. And I think part of that comes from the fact that in maths, unlike most other subjects at elementary level, the answer is either right or it's wrong. If you were doing a piece of writing, you can't produce a wrong piece of writing. The quality of the writing may not be so good, but you can produce a piece of writing that is very good or maybe not so good. Whereas in maths, the answer is wrong. And if you repeatedly get an answer wrong and you're getting that cross or a red mark next to it, I think it has a demotivating effect on the children, and they can quite easily become discouraged. So one of the key things, I think, is to overcome that problem of getting questions wrong. I think we're going to perhaps come back to ways to overcome that a little bit later. So I've got a couple of other points to add into that at a later date.
Sure. And, you know, I think that when I was in college, it was in the 70s, so I am dating myself, but there was a grand experiment of changing things from out of base 10. So we were doing things like base 5 and base 6, and it was idiotic. And I said to the professor, this is stupid. Of course, those of you listening to my podcast probably know, of course she did. And the professor agreed that it was stupid, but it was part of what this curriculum that was being, you know, purported. And he finally said after, because we were all frustrated, and just said, okay, we get it. You know, we understand the concept here, but this is dumb. We're not going to ever use it in our teaching methods. And then come to, you know, find this new math that's been floating around. I don't know if any of you are involved in social media, but some of the archaic ways they were having children add simple things that would be very simple that they could do in their head to this ridiculously long, complicated thing. And kids were very frustrated. And I think that's one of the reasons parents turned to homeschooling, because they could go back to the basics. Singapore Math actually is one that was at homeschool conference. A lot of homeschool parents may be familiar with that. And they could look at mathematics from the perspective of a rational person looking at this and saying, mm-hmm. I need to understand, you know, because part of what they were saying is, well, there's calculators and, you know, everybody's got that built into their cell phones. Now you don't need to learn this stuff. Of course you do. You still need to understand the concept behind it so that either one, as a parent, you can teach it, you know, and even if you're using something similar to what you know, you guys are talking about here, which is Smash Maths. And let me give you that website, and that is smashmaths.com. So the math is plural, smashmaths.com. And you can check that out and, you know, take a look at that. But yeah, go ahead.
Sorry, .org. Sorry, Lee.
Oh, is it .org? Okay. All right. Let me do that again. All right. And you can check out their website at Smash Maths. And remember, the math is plural, .org. And that is smashmaths.org. And, you know, so one of the things that we've, you know, really discussed is understanding not only how difficult sometimes math is, unless you have this, you know, brilliant mathematician on your hands, but also how to engage them in learning and how do we do it. And I think, Trevor, you hit on that a little bit when you said, you know, if they're frustrated and they're getting things wrong, they're going to hate math. They're not going to like it. Yeah, I did everything definitely. With my little ones. I used to take sheets of paper because I was a elementary teacher too. I taught fourth grade very, very briefly. And then I taught middle school. I always said it took a smart aleck to know one. I love that age. And my daughter briefly taught sixth grader. She's a history teacher. And she said, Mom, you said sixth graders are fun. I said, they are fun. She goes, no, she likes the 11th and 10th and 11th. But anyway, I would take sheets of paper, and on each sheet of paper, I put 1 through 20. And then I handed them a math sheet problem. And I said, go stand on the first number and then count up to the next number. And they were super thrilled with that, you know, until the wind blew away the papers. We were out on our lanai. And so that little thing didn't work and we moved it to the house, but they loved it. And, you know, I didn't stay there. We didn't, you know, just stop there. You know, I hear parents using, you know, M&Ms that's a very high interest to get kids to want to count. And you can use these methods. At some point we need to, you know, wean off of those. And so learning can be fun and engaging, but especially if it's high success. And so, you know, what words of wisdom do you have for the audience about engaging your child in math?
Well, I think to get work right, that's the big key, I think. The children need to be able to see that they are being successful. You don't want them to sit and get everything right. Because if they're getting everything right, it shows that perhaps they're not being challenged.
Right.
Because you need to sort of like take them on to that next step. So you need to be able to break down a task into its little mini steps as you work towards the completion of the level that you want them to achieve to. So I think you need to have an understanding of the subject, the task that you want to complete, where you've come from in that particular task and where you're going to, so you can break it down so that you're pitching the work at the level that the child understands.
So is that what your program does? Does it work
well
on that?
Well, we take our steps are all building on one another, so
okay.
There will be a continuing progression through a particular strand of learning as it develops and leads on from week to week, month, year to year. I think you also need to look at the work, whether it's written or a verbal response from children, and have some kind of diagnostic approach to analyze where they're making mistakes. And when you can start to put those mistakes right, I think children can then start to achieve some success. Mm-hmm. And when they're achieving success, they're happy little bunnies.
Sarah, do you have anything to add to that?
Just to kind of build on what you were saying with that really lovely kind of practical example you shared with everyone, just making maths kind of engaging and, you know, really building those real life contexts for maths, you know, getting children to understand that maths, you know, is not just about calculations and lots of calculations, but it's, you know, it's a purposeful subject and it's, you know, it's a part of our everyday life. And both Trevor and I, as teachers in the classroom, really love to play games with children in the classroom. And at home, there's so much opportunity to bring maths alive, you know, through your, you know, baking your cookies and, you know, measuring and practical maths, like, you know, I'm sure lots of your homeschooling parents already do. And that's just so important. And, you know, even just I say, as one of my kind of top tips for parents and teachers, is daily counting. You know, we as adults take counting for granted. We see it as a very simple thing to be able to count to 100 and back. But for children, it's quite an abstract language to count. And one of the things I encourage teachers to do and parents is, you know, to do daily counting with your children and, you know, get children to understand the difference between, you know, what is number 13 and number 30, you know, and playing on that practical thing. You know, here in the UK, in some of the classrooms I've taught, I'll get the children to role play and kind of stop and have a little cup of tea for 30. So when they're counting along, and get them to really think about what that number means. So I think all those kind of practical experiences of number and real life maths and games really helps engagement.
Yeah. Wonderful.
Because I think counting at a very young age is very, very important, because when you're counting forwards, it's the basis for addition. When you're counting backwards, it's the basis for subtraction. If you're counting in steps, it's the basis for multiplication. And if you're counting back in steps, it's the basis for division. So it's a foundation, really, for a lot of the calculation work that the children will go on and do.
Yeah, and that's called, we would call it skip counting, you know, when counting by twos or counting by threes.
Exactly.
Yeah. We didn't do a lot of well, the 10, 9, 8, the countdown like that. But yeah, that's great. I didn't think of that. Done homeschooling. I can homeschool my grandkids. That my little one, the 5-year-old, told me he needed me at the house to help work with him. So my daughter has quite a few little ones. So they're calling. I said, Grandma's just way stricter than Mommy is. So I don't know about that. But
grandmas are wonderful.
Yeah. I love my, I have 9 of them. So they're quite boisterous when they come over. It's wonderful. So, you had mentioned off air a little bit about the spiral approach, and that's what your curriculum deals with. So first explain what a spiral approach is to the listeners, and that many may be familiar with it already.
Yeah, I mean, the spiral curriculum has really come about from a lot of the work that I've kind of done in schools, and also just Trevor and I kind of talking over the years about children's experiences of maths. And, you know, I think one thing that resonates with teachers and parents is that you can teach something to children, a topic, let's take, for example, fractions, and you can really drill down and teach an amazing sequence of lessons on fractions. And the student or your child at home shows an amazing understanding of it. They've done really well. You're really happy with yourself as a teacher. You think, great, you know, they've got some, you know, really good understanding of this now. We've cracked it. We know what a denominator is, and we know what a numerator is. And they've done pretty well. You know, they've answered quite a lot of their questions right. And then a few weeks later or a couple of months later, you come back to fractions learning, and that child or student will deny, you know, never seeing a fractions before. They can't remember their learning. And I think that resonates with a lot of parents that we talk to, and teachers, even if you've taught the best sessions on fractions. So the idea behind spiral learning is that we're keeping that dripping tap going on the topics that we've taught. So children really have the opportunity to embed the learning that they have already undertaken. And over time, their memory and their learning retention increases and improves. And that results in people's confidence and results. And it's just, you know, a really nice way of ensuring very secure maths learning. And we've seen that, you know, to be a very successful strategy for children to engage in the maths curriculum.
Yeah, we did somewhat of that. And the kids would kind of complain a little bit because, well, I already know this. And I said, well, and, you know, I did the whole little mommy-isms, I call them, because when you say these things over and over, well, if something is hard, that means you don't know it yet. If something is easy, that means you know it, but you still practice it. So, all right, Mom, I know what you're going to say. You know, you say it enough and then they're quoting you, hopefully in a good way. But that was it.
Yeah. And it's nothing new. I mean, what Trevor and I are promoting through Smash Maths, you know, it's, you know, another word for it is spaced repetition, which I'm sure you've heard about, like coming back to things at regular intervals. And there's, you know, a lot of scientific kind of evidence and research in education that shows, you know, the importance of this as a really effective teaching strategy to improve learning retention.
Trevor, did you want to add something?
Yeah, I don't know if we've talked about Smash Maths. I don't quite know if everybody understands what is provided by it. We have two practices that are presented on our website on a weekly basis. So each practice will consist of 10 questions. So the children are getting 20 questions a week. Those 20 questions cover the maths curriculum. So there'll be some calculations, some measurements, some fractions, some geometry, some data handling. So this is the drip feed in that they're getting something from the maths curriculum each week, and then the following week it builds and bills and bills from year to year. So there are practices available 52 weeks of the year. If the children complete the tests or the practices and get a question wrong, there is a video for each question showing the children how they should solve it or could solve it.
Very good.
So I think that's quite a powerful thing to have.
It is.
Perhaps, for an academic year to have 1,000 videos available, because there's 20 questions, 52 weeks of the year. So every question is a video.
Mathematician came up.
Can't help himself.
And I think it's useful for parents to have that video. They're not quite sure of a method, then they can see the video as well and perhaps go on and do further, develop further questions along those lines.
So is there some sort of assessment? So when parents go, like, how would they, first of all, what does your curriculum, what are the grades for this?
So we're from from kindergarten up to grade 6.
Okay. And then is there some sort of assessment? If they went to your website, would they answer some questions as far, for placement? Yeah.
Yeah, so we have a 2-week trial available for anyone who'd be interested. And we have 3 different levels of our packages. So we have a program for children who might be falling a little bit behind in their maths and need a bit of boost and confidence building. And that's our catch-up program. And then we have a package for those children who are on track. They're confident mathematicians, but they need to keep that dripping tap going, so we don't forget what they've learned. That's our keep on track package. And then for those children who need that kind of extension and challenge, we have a accelerate package. So we find parents come on to our program, we guide them, support them, we monitor their children's progress, we have an analytics dashboard, and then parents kind of work with us to kind of make sure their child's on the right package and program.
Wonderful. And then you had a special code for our listeners.
We do. So for your audience, a special kind of 10% discount, which is Felice10.
Oh, wonderful. We're using my name. So if you can spell my name. So it's Felice10. There we go. Okay, wonderful. All right. So thank you so much. I really appreciate you coming on and helping our parents and our listeners with this topic. And then do you have any last words you'd like to share with our listeners?
Well, first of all, thank you very much for giving us the opportunity. It's been interesting and a pleasure.
Yeah, it's wonderful
to meet with you and be able to speak across the Atlantic Ocean parents in America. It's been truly wonderful. Thank you very much. I hope some of your parents come on board, and I hope they are able to benefit from, the service that we provide.
Wonderful.
And we'd love to hear from anyone. So even if, any questions come up from this that parents would like to get in touch, we're really approachable and we'd love to hear from them.
Wonderful, wonderful. A little bit of a time zone issue, but that can be overcome with technology. It's wonderful to be able to share with you, and share with the audience all of the wonderful, insights that you've given us, and to meet two, math gurus, so to speak, that really love math. For me, I understood it pretty well until we got to geometry, and then I just thought it was, something over my pay grade, which was why I was more in the literature language based track. So, math is not subjective. And I think that's one of the reasons a lot of kids like math, and even some children who struggle with reading really gravitate to math because it's something that's functional and they can understand and get a grasp on. And, I had children who really enjoyed math. And I always say, you're a homeschooler when your college aged child comes home and asks you to order a math curriculum. He felt that, I can't even remember. it was statistics, I think. He was struggling with that. And anyway, we ended up ordering a curriculum for him. And I said, what kid comes home, you know, at 18 and says, Mom, I need a math curriculum for the summer? It's like, you know, why? But he did. He sat there and, oh, it was Algebra 2. That's what it was. And he just felt like the program we had used had some holes and he wanted another Algebra 2 curriculum. So, so we got him that. But he's now successful. He's in the military right now, but he was an engineer, you know, sort of engineer major. So that came in handy for him to kind of shore up on that. And so I think, you know, it's important to have a good stability, especially in the younger grades. And so you guys are presenting a wonderful service for homeschool parents or even parents who are have their children in some sort of education, private education. You know, there's a lot of schools that are, you know, have a multiple approach where you homeschool some days and you go to the school some days. So there are so many different options now for parents. So friends, go to smashmaths.org, and that's smashmaths.org. And you can use the code Felice, F-E-L-I-C-E 10, to get your discount. Thank you so much for joining me today. God bless everyone. And go to vintagehomeschoolmoms.com. Struggling math is our topic today. And you can find the show notes at on the website. And make sure that you sign up for our emails. You can find that information on ultimatehomeschoolpodcastnetwork.com. And we will have the code in the show notes as well as in the email coming up. So thanks again, friends. Take care. God bless. And I'll talk to you soon. Bye-bye.
Thanks for tuning in to the Vintage Homeschool Mom Show. Visit Felice at MediaAngels.com and TheVintageHomeschoolMoms.com. Vintage Homeschool Moms is a production of the Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network.